We pray. Heavenly Father, you who saw this day from a distance, from all eternity, we pray, come near. Come near through the power of your word. May your glorious light of truth and grace shine brilliantly on our hearts and in our lives. Come and work your good and gracious will all throughout this year ahead and on into eternity, that your name may be praised and glorified. In Christ our Savior, amen. Would you agree with me that we have pretty ordinary lives? Or do we? Our lives are pretty simple little lives. Or are they? Think a second of how our lives would change if God had given us the gift of being a genius, a child genius. Oh, all the different ways that our life might have twisted and turned with such great blessings. William James Sidis was born in 1898, and at the ripe old age of 11, he entered Harvard to study mathematics. Wow. As an adult, it was recorded that he was fluent in 25 different languages. Wow, what would it be like to be that smart? Wow, I would think he would look out and say, nothing is impossible for me. Except, of course, fitting in with kids my own age and kind of living a simple, ordinary, normal life. Whenever God gives us a blessing, whether it be a physical blessing or a mental blessing or a spiritual blessing, it takes our lives into wonderful places, opens up all kinds of opportunities to us, and yet it carries responsibility to put to use that which He has given us. Much like Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, who wrote his first concerto at the ripe old age of 5. Is it safe to say that music kind of consumed his whole life? So goes the blessings. Well, Paul writes to the Ephesian Christians, and he shows them just how God has changed their life from being ordinary to being extraordinary. He writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." I would imagine these Ephesian Christians, their lives were kind of as ordinary as dirt. And yet, because of God's blessings poured out on them, all of a sudden they became more special than the very angels of heaven. For they're the children of God. We also, each and every one of us, has been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I don't know if the Ephesians ever would have known that and appreciated it had Paul not told them. Would we appreciate it had God never told us? But He's poured out on us every spiritual blessing, and therefore we rejoice. Rejoice because we are bursting with God's blessings. Do you feel like your life is bursting with God's blessings? Is that what you experience every day? Oh, I'm just bursting with blessings. Or does our life sometimes feel more like a bust than a blessing? Oh, sometimes life can be pretty tough. Burdens. Sometimes we might feel like we're walking around as paupers. And that's when we need to remember we are truly prince and princesses in the kingdom of our God, for we are His children. Do we live defeated, poor lives? Or maybe we live the life of scoundrels scratching and clawing and biting to get ahead of the next one? Or do we live lives of royalty, filled with thankfulness and humility that we, of all people, should be called the children of God? What a holy blessing. God told Paul that he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Boy, what God reveals here is astounding. We might be tempted just to breeze or skim right over the surface and go on to something that's easier. But even if it gives us a headache, let's try and cram this into our brain, just what God is saying to us here in these verses. Before God created the sun, moon, and stars, he knew you and me completely, perfectly, even the hairs on our head. He knew that we would fall into sin, and yet he chose us to be his own and to be adopted through his son's sacrifice. It was his good pleasure and will that moved him to choose to be that babe of Bethlehem. No one forced him. He chose to live a poor, indigent life of living for us to fulfill God's word. He chose to allow sinful people to spit on him and beat him and crucify him, all so that he could pay for our sins. He chose to do that for us. He chose to rise on the third day, all so that he could proclaim his forgiveness on us, to choose to do that for you and me, and to sign our adoption papers in his holy blood. And so now he has declared us holy and righteous in his sight. And we have the gift of being free from the guilt of our sin, free from the fear of his punishment, for he's taken it all away. We are his children by his choosing. And so our hearts rejoices. Oh, the blessings that abound. Now, we might choose to get our self-esteem from our blonde hair and our blue eyes, or we might decide to get our self-esteem from our bulging bank account, or we might decide to get our self-esteem from the power to decree laws upon other people or fire missiles at other people. Maybe we get our self-esteem from how fiercely we kickbox in the arena of our home or our business or our neighborhood. Nobody messes with us. Or maybe our goal in life is simply that everyone knows our name. Well, all those feelings of importance last for a day or two, but soon it becomes also evident that we came from dust, and we're quickly returning to dust. The only place for a healthy self-esteem is from the fact that God chose us to be his children. From all eternity, he chose us. Even seeing how we would wander away from us, in love, he chose us to be his ransomed ones and to live with him forever in heaven. He chose us and loved us to life, to death, and to life again for all eternity. It's remarkable, but there's nothing we can do to get him to love us more, because he already has an infinitive amount of love for you and me. And surprisingly, there's nothing we can do to have him love us less, because his love isn't based on us. It's based on who he is. And so we're secure in his love as his blood-bought children. I wonder how many geniuses have never been able to discover the next medicine, invent the next machine, or write the next symphony, all because they were locked away in a coal mine, or in a factory, or on a farm trying to provide for their families. How many people in general have never ever really been able to use the talents God gave them because they are trapped in poverty or in a war zone or because they were aborted before they ever could see the light of life? God has richly blessed each and every one of us with spiritual blessings, but the question is, are we putting them to use? Are we using them to our fullest? If God's word doesn't find a home in our heart, a place for meditation and inwardly digesting all that he said, then the power of his blessing and his word is untapped. Then we stumble through this world on our own power and in the wisdom of this foolish world and what it thinks a Christian ought to be. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Now remember, these Ephesians, most of them were pagans to begin with before Paul came to town. They were worshiping at the local pagan temple of Hermes or Zeus or whatever, doing disgusting things at their temple. And then they heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit worked a miracle in their hearts and lives. And now while Paul is distant and far away, he's hearing accounts of these Ephesians. Not how they reverted back to their paganism, but no, their trust in the Lord and their love for the fellow believers. And he commends them for that. This wisdom and power and joy and hope that comes from outside of them through the Word of God had truly found a happy home in their hearts and lives and done wondrous things. Everyone that knew these Ephesian Christians knew of the God they were worshiping. Oh, that our friends and family, if they would know anything about us, that they would know our Savior and how his light shines in our hearts and through our lives. But Paul kept on praying to the Lord over and over again for a special blessing for these Ephesians. What did he want for them? That God may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. That you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance. Paul wanted these Ephesian Christians to know God better. More and more, each and every day, that's a growing process. And the more we know about God, the happier our lives are. The more powerful and peaceful and hopeful we become. And that's why we have Bible classes and a Lutheran elementary school and Sunday school and catechism classes all along with worship services so that we can know our God better and better. And so that provides us with a marvelous prayer. Each and every time we crack open the Bible for worship or Bible study or even reading scripture at home in our home devotions to say, "Lord, Lord, according to this verse, pour out your spirit of wisdom and revelation on us so that we might know you better, that we might keep on growing, that we might see you present in every day, in every moment, whether we're victorious or we're defeated, whether it's our best day or our worst day, you stand there, Lord. Have we just won a basketball championship? Oh, Lord, I thank you that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Have we just been promoted and risen to the highest levels in business or in politics or in performance. Oh Lord, you are there. May your hand that has lifted us so high in our endeavors, may that hand also be the one that gives us wisdom to lead others graciously and to move us to humbly bow before you in thanksgiving. Do we have children to raise and a house to build? Oh, Abba, Father, may all the blessings that you stream on me to be your child, may they spill over through me into my home here, that you might give us a sweet and safe home in your truth and in your grace. Are we riddled with cancer, bankrupt, encircled by enemies? Oh Lord, you are there in that moment. You are a Savior, our great physician. You are the giver of all good things. We wait upon you. You are our protective king. What do we have to fear? You hold us by our right hand. You guide us with your counsel, Scripture says, and afterward you will take us into glory. Our times are in his hands. Hope is a powerful gift from God. If we hope in ourselves or in what the world says about Christianity, well, then we will soon be disappointed. But he who hopes in the Lord will never be put to shame. Paul prayed for these Ephesian Christians that they might know the hope to which they have been called, God's glorious inheritance that's waiting for them. Isn't that amazing? The day we stand in heaven, we'll look back on all the riches of this world and see that they're kind of like tinsel on the Christmas tree. Glittery, but not of any great importance. Here, we not only have every spiritual blessing in Christ, but he tells us that we have an inheritance that is waiting for us. Better than anything we could imagine. A paradise that is more breathtaking than the Swiss mountains, more expansive than all the galaxies in the universe, more majestic than all the water that rushes over Niagara Falls in a day. When we get home to heaven, we will be geniuses, because we will see God face to face for who he truly is in his light. And those things we cannot comprehend on this side of eternity will be crystal clear. And we will rejoice to know our Savior and the full extent of his love. And so that moves us to pray. Pray in 2020. Pray that our ordinary, simple, little lives may have the power and glory of God shining in them and through them. Pray that all these spiritual blessings that God has poured out on us may not sit dormant, but actually empower us to live in the Spirit. Pray that this certain hope of a heavenly inheritance that's waiting for us might compel us and move us to walk each day closer and closer to our Lord and his eternity, that we may stay close to him and rejoice in getting to know him better, fuller, more complete. He has a holy purpose for 2020 for each and every one of us, and it has to do with him blessing us through his word and sacrament. And so we move ever onward and say, Lord, your will be done. Guide us ever onward. Then we will have a life well spent. And when we meet our Savior face to face, he will say, well done, my good and faithful servants. To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise. We pray.
Heavenly Father, our times are in your hands. In this brand new year, work mightily through your word and sacrament that we might be strengthened and rejoice to be your blood-bought children, that we might have a holy hunger for your word, that we might be a blessing to all around us as we see you present in every stage of life. Bless us, guide us ever onward. In Christ our Savior, amen.